The Veritas Radio Network is guaranteed the right to offend, annoy, agitate, shout, heresy, and entertain.
You should start programming right now.
Kind of like the cultural sewage served up on Bravo or CMT, only it's on 24 hours a day, except Sundays. When the truth gets you angry and you throw your smartphone, remember, no one is forcing you to listen to the truth on the Veritas Radio Network.
You can't handle the truth.
You're doing that of your own free will. That's what makes this country great and any gay marriage pointless.
That's offensive.
So there isn't much you can do about it, Chowderhead.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Grab a book, take a vow, and conform your mind to reality. Otherwise, you're just another Judas-inspired Karl Marx wannabe,
and your children will steal your credit card number to buy tickets to the Miley Cyrus Twerkers Ball.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
Are you ready? Let's get it on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Folks, it's a free phone Friday, I know, but man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Can you believe? I feel like John Adams from Get Smart. What do you believe? No, I would not. Mitter Church, you've got to talk about Paul Ryan, either Republican or Nick. All right, folks, we are loaded up here today. I can't wait to get it started, so let's do it. It's the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, asking the question of the day.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
And I shall answer myself by saying that...
Oh, and remember, Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
Or a Hawaiian shirt bow tie. How about that, eh?
Be free phone. Friday. Friday. Be free phone.
Friday. Friday.
Yes, it is. A free phone. Today you are charged with the task of telling us what it is we shall talk about here on the program. Telephone number to take me up on this kind, benevolent, beneficent offer use of these radio airwaves. Call 1-844-5-CRUSADE. Now, emphasis on the free phone part. You really can make your own topic up today or pick any of the ones that we've talked about this week. Boy, howdy, what a week it's been. You can email us. Many different ways to communicate with us here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Go to veritasradionetwork.com. Use the contact form. That's one. Use the contact form in the app if you've downloaded it for your iPhone or the Android or the Windows phone. That's two. If you have the app, open it up. See? Come follow me. And, Christopher, your camera is all jacked up and whacked out of position on the U-boob camera. Open the app up, scroll down right beneath Listen Live, and you will see the Call Crusade. Gee, I mean, Jiminy Christmas, it can't be any easier than that. Or you can actually punch the number in. You know, when we say dial, here, dial the phone number. There's no dial. There's no rotary phones left. Who has a rotary phone and still uses it? That'd be a great free phone Friday discussion. See who still uses a rotary phone. But you could punch us up. 844-527-8723. You can send an email, kingdude@mikechurch.com. You can follow us on the Twitter feed, @thekingdude, or on the Facebook, Mike Church Show fan page. We've got a lot to talk about here today on a Free Phone Friday. W. Schlussel from WDustPolitics.com will be with us with this week's movie reviews. Folks, I got to tell you, the May 11th deadline is coming up. I'm starting to get emails about it. Now, Mike, I started to think what you're going to do with May the 11th. I'm sorry. I've given you all we've got. I've given you all you've got, Captain. I can't give you no more, Captain. May the 11th will be Wednesday, and just looking at the numbers today, barring a miraculous outpouring of cash and memberships, we will not get to the meager goals that I set here. Now, there's a lot of other good things happening. And if you wonder why your kind, benevolent, humble host stutters and stammers, it's because your kind, benevolent, humble host doesn't sleep anymore. Because someone has to do the work of four men and try to cram it into a day and to try and grow the internet presence of the Veritas Radio Network website at veritasradionetwork.com. I fortunately have the assistance, and I must thank Ms. Pepper Dolce for her volunteer work. If you want to know how to, you want to talk about a good Samaritan, I'm going to play that clip that Mark Kresslin's played. And I'm going to give you the inverse of that by just using Pepper as an example. Here's a young lady that I told Shezri last night in a chat, my friend the Pole, as we call him. I told Shezri, I said, I don't know, how does she hold a job down? I feel guilty sometimes, like her employer must be getting must not be getting all of her efforts because we're getting many of them. But folks, and Mrs. Church is yelling at me via chat messages this morning, you got to stop this. This 16, 17-hour workday, you got to stop this. You're not sleeping. It's obvious that you're not sleeping, et cetera, et cetera. So May the 11th, if you want this show 3 days a week, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, then go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com, click the Veritas tab. Click SOS. Any and all of those could use some attention. That's my pitch to become a Founders Pass member, crowdfunder, founding brother, founding father, crusader maybe. We have one. That reminds me. I pledged I was going to read that gentleman's letter of why he supported the channel, and I'm going to. Folks, I invited D.C. McAllister to be on the program today, and she was not able to make it. She will be here Monday. She has a story. As a matter of fact, just to show you, an indication of the effort required to keep the stream you are currently listening to on, the site maintained and updated. I print stories out when the show is concluded until we begin the show, and I get so busy doing show prep, I forget to walk over to the printer and get them. Here, let's go through some headlines, shall we? At 844-527-8723, if you'd like to be on the program on a Free Phone Friday. Headline, Alabama City withdraws bathroom privacy ordinance after LGBTQRSTLNNE, brought to you by Carl's Jr., pressure. Can you believe this? Would you believe? No, I would not believe. Headline, from D.C. McAllister, our friend, contributor to the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Caitlyn Jenner's nude SI cover is an offense to women everywhere. Let me tell you something, my sister. It's an offense to the children who are going to go to their doctor's offices or their dentist offices or go with their mother or their father grocery shopping and are going to see this travesty, this abomination, this mutilated abomination on the cover of a magazine right there and are going to then ask the question.
Mommy, why is that woman? Why is that man looking like a woman?
It's an appropriate question. What is one to say? How does one respond to that? What do you tell your child about the disordered mind that does this? I sit here and I'm flabbergasted by these things. Headline. From Patrick J. Buchanan, Republicans reject Bush at last. Buchanan thinks this is long overdue. I concur. Headline, 51 families sue over Illinois high school's transgender bathroom policy. About time. Headline, Minnesota JUCO's Honor HB2 boycott will miss World Series in Kinston, North Carolina. A listener sent me a follow-up story. I'm searching in my mail for this. Hang on just a second here. A listener sent me a follow-up story. Here's your headline from LifeNews.com. Minnesota travel ban forces college baseball teams to boycott or to skip national championships in North Carolina. Minnesota Governor Mark Drayton's ban on state employee non-essential travel to North Carolina over the state's bathroom privacy law prevents college baseball players from participating in two national championship tournaments there. The Minnesota State College and University System, that's SCU, has announced. And then there's the details on that. What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? If we head on over to the Daily Signal, we find, good grief, I have so many windows open, I can't even find the story now. We find this, House Republican, here's another headline for you on a Free Phone Friday. Now, I've already given you like 10 topics to choose from here. Headline, House Republicans to move forward on spending without a budget number. What do you mean without a budget number? I thought these guys were the good guys. I thought Mitter Church, Paul Ryan and Scott Brown are going to do it. You did wait and they. Headline, North Carolina conservatives, Obama administration using children as pawns for LGBT agenda. Headline, an economist explains why America is moving toward totalitarianism. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not moving toward totalitarianism. We have totalitarianism. If you are not allowed to think and then to act upon segregating a men's room from a ladies' room, you live in a totalitarian regime. Let's do it as a Jeff Foxworthy bit, shall we? If your state requires you to allow men to micturate in ladies' rooms where there are 9-year-old girls trying to micturate, you might live in a totalitarian state and you might be a totalitarian redneck. I'm going to say this again and again and again. It is over. It's over. Ladies and gentlemen, Run for the exit. Get out now while we can. They're not going to let us out soon. If you can't see what the next step for these madmen, for these diabolically inspired maniacs, if you don't see what the next step coming is, I don't know what to tell you. If they cannot vanquish all remaining grace, residual grace that resides in the souls and the hearts of the American people and the minds, what is, and look, what is diabolus? What is the demon? What is Satan? What does he wish for us? Hell, that's what he, our souls, because he knows God loves us, otherwise he would not create us. So what does he wish for us? Your soul, this is all, 3-year-olds can understand this. What does he wish for us? What is his vultus, Latin for wishing? What is his wish for us? Or another Latin word, desideratum. What is his thing longed for? What is his desideratum? By the way, James Madison was very fond of using that word. If you read any Madison work, you will find desideratum. What is Satan's desideratum for man? It is to anger, chip at the pure, divine Almighty's happiness. God creates us because he loves us. We're his children. He puts us here to run us through a test, basically. Pass the test, you return to him. Fail the test, you go to the fallen side. Satan, the devil, wants you on the fallen side. This is not hard to figure out. It's not hard to explain. It's not difficult to understand. It requires your goodwill to understand it. But that's the extent of it. And thus, what is it then that would accomplish that? If he cannot vanquish the remaining grace that provides the opportunity to save the soul and to have it passed through the narrow gate and to be rejoined with Almighty God, if forcing us to micturate next to women, or allowing men to micturate, expose themselves, contemplate other lustful activities next to our daughters and our wives and our sisters, heaven forfend our grandmothers, if we still hold out that, you know what, we're not going to let you do that, it's just wrong, and we don't really need an do we really need to explain this? What's the next step? If policing the thought doesn't work, what do you do then? Well, then you have to act physically. Start building bigger prisons. You don't think that the same people that would see you disemployed, that care not whether or not your ability to earn a living for your family, whether or not it is seriously curtailed to the point where you may be impoverished, they care not about that. You shouldn't have opened your mouth, bigot. You shouldn't have wanted your daughter to be in a women's bathroom by herself. What's wrong with you, you bigot? Why don't you want men standing next to your daughter? Don't you care about the feelings of the transgendered and the confused? And because you still hold these horrid thoughts that somehow we can segregate the genders and is somehow the Creator meant for us to be born as men or as women or as boys or as girls, what do you do next? What's the encore? What's on the way? What's the next thing at the Lucifer and Baphomet buffet now serving 24 hours a day? What's next? We'll bring the power of the state to bear against you, and we'll use the penal code against you. We tried to put you out of business. We tried to shame you into denouncing your faith, into denouncing God's natural order. That wouldn't work, so now we're going to lock you up. What happens when locking people up doesn't work? Remember, the English tried this. The English threatened during the awful period in history known as the Reformation in England, they tried imprisoning the Catholic faithful, the laity, and even the clergy. When that didn't work, Queen Elizabeth then ordered Parliament to pass acts that made Catholicism illegal under penalty of what? Death. See St. Henry Walpole. See St. Margaret Clitheroe. See St. Thomas More, although, of course, that happened beforehand. See St. John Fisher. See St. Edmund Compion. And thousands of other, what they were known as English martyrs. What are they? That's what the next phase is. When the French, oh, come on, Mike, that's just one example. Let Mr. Church, please, this is America. It couldn't happen here. Really? You really believe that? Oh, please, may I have another cup of the coffee that you're drinking? Christopher, could you turn the AC down? I am about to turn into a little, one of those little flame balls that you see in the Donkey Kong game that comes after Mario. That's going to be me in about 2 minutes. Thank you. What about what happened in 1793, 1794, 1795, and 1796 in France when the Constitution Congress could not just by fiat, in other words, or by order or by their will, convert the Christian / Catholics in France to become members of the Blues, that's what the Republican Army was known as, or into compliance with the wishes of the revolutionary radical nut jobs led by Robespierre. What did they do? They made it illegal. They ended the monasteries. They took over the religious orders. They said, hey, priests and bishops, you'll either sign this and you'll be a juring priest or you won't. And if we fine you, we reserve the right to kill you, which they did to much fanfare and approbation from sick, twisted Frenchmen and women who'd sit on the banks of the Seine River and watch priests and Catholic families be drowned. Mike, you're making that up. No, I'm not. Folks, this is what, here, as a matter of fact, I think I have the place marked in the book. This is what's coming. If you deny this, then you're denying it. This is what's coming. This is what I'm going to read to you from the Oxford History of the French Revolution by William Doyle. The Oxford History. No, in other words, this is reliable. What happened to the Vendée? Gosh, I could read two or three pages of this. Let's just start here. The rebels rapidly abandoned Saumur and Angers, and their leaders fell to quarreling about who should have overall command. Reactivated by messages from London that the British would send them aid if they could capture a port, they regrouped and defeated the Parisian army at Caron on 18 September and the Maine's veterans at Torfou the next day. But characteristically, afterwards, most of... Now, listen to this. I want you to pay very close attention to what the... And this is the story of the Vendée. We're going to be the Vendée very soon with this bathroom nonsense if we don't nip it in the bud now. Folks, look at the history of progressives and what they do once they accomplish one, once they get a foot, a nose under the tent, what do? Did they stop? No. It wasn't enough to just have birth control outlawed. What came after birth control being outlawed? Let's stop these Christian wackos, says the devil, says Satan, from reproducing and giving God the pleasure and the happiness of implanting holy souls. When that didn't work and they still kept procreating, what came after banning or opening the floodgates with making legal contraceptive? What came after that? Murder. Abortion. They've already successfully killed 56 million in the United States. You think you're going to be spared? I don't think I'm going to be spared. What are you smoking? Please, please, pass the hoogal pipe. Now, if anyone wants to pay, if anyone wants to know or to learn the story of what actually is going to transpire if this insanity is not curtailed now, pay attention. Back to the story of the Von Day. But now, so they would band an army together. They would go fight the Blues in just wars and just war activities. And as soon as they achieved their just war objective, here's what they did. This is the difference between us and them, the Von Day. But characteristically, afterwards, most of the rebels went home to sing Te Deums. It's a prayer. Instead of pursuing their advantage. Early in October, the Committee of Public Safety. Boy, doesn't that sound American, the Committee of Public Safety? Sounds like something that somebody might convene to, open the floodgates of perverted male access into women's bathrooms. In early in October, the Committee of Public Safety launched a new drive to crush the inexplicable Von Day, as Badade called it. Command of the various Republican armies was unified, and by mid-October, four columns were converging on the very headquarters of rebel territory, the Bocage, around Cholet. There, on 17 October, they defeated the rebels decisively and killed several of their leaders. Only now, pursued by triumphant Republicans, lowercase r, did the Vendeans break out of their home country in a bold and desperate bid to link up with the British. They crossed the Loire and struck north under Stoufflet, making for the nearest port to British territory, Granville, on the Cotentin Peninsula opposite Jersey. As they went, they were joined by Chauvins from the disaffected countryside of Upper Brittany, and by the time they reached Granville on 14 November, they may have been 60,000 strong, but the British were not there. There were plenty of troops and supplies in Jersey, but news of the march only reached their commander via London on 26 November, and even then he did not know that Granville was their destination. The port was well fortified and defended where the Vendeans had no siege strain. By the time British warships appeared off Granville on 2 December, the rebel army was in retreat, far to the south. By the 4th, they were once more at Angers, but this time the Republican garrison held firm, and they were unable to get back across the Loire. They turned north again, and on 12 December, Republican forces at last caught up with them at Le Mans, where they were routed in a night battle fought in pouring winter rain. Many escaped, but in complete disorder. Westermann, in command of the Blues, pursuing them westward back into Brittany, ordered no quarter to be given. Now remember... The Von Day sent letters to the Parisians saying, look, just leave us alone, dude. We'll never come to Paris again. We'll never interfere in your stupid little Continental or Constitution Congress. We just want to be left alone. But no, you have to let men into your women's bathrooms, the Parisians roared back at the Von Day. You got to go pervert. You got to go homosexual. You got to go adulterer. If you don't, we'll come and kill you. The Von Day said, no, dude, please don't do that. They found they formed an army, and they had early victories, as we heard at the start of this story. But they kept disbanding because there was no just war to continue fighting. Now listen to what happens to the Von Day. Many escaped, but in complete disorder. Westermann, in command of the Blues, that's the Parisian Republican Army, pursuing them westward back into Brittany, ordered no quarter to be given. Quote, the road to Laval is strewn with corpses. Close quote. Reported one of his men. Quote, women, priests, monks, children, all have been put to death. I have spared nobody. Close quote. Perhaps 10,000 died during this retreat. Now they're trying to run home. And the Republican forces of Paris are murdering women, children, and priests in the retreat. And you think these bathroom HB2 shoving down our throat, LGBTQRSTLNNE, brought to you by Carl's Jr., maniacs aren't going to come for you? These are the actions of people that are obsessed. Obsessed by what? A diabolical spirit or diabolical spirits. They're not going to spare us. Time to make a break now. Don't be the Von Day. And if you think you've heard the worst of the story, brothers and sisters, here on a Free Phone Friday, Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, where else are you going to hear this? Where do you hear the conclusion? On 23 December, finally, the remnant of the Catholic and Royal Army turned to face its pursuers at Savonier. Only 4,000 or 5,000 were left in any state to fight, although twice that number were crammed into the little town. Two-thirds of them were destroyed in the battle and the mass shootings which followed. In other words, executions. The Great War of the Vendée was over, but Republican vengeance was not. In a macabre but untranslatable pun, the area was now to be called Vengée. Instead of Vendée, Vengée, for vengeance. Over the spring of 1794, General Thoreau sent infernal columns of blues to crisscross the heartland of rebellion, ravaging, destroying, and killing everything in their path. Quote, "Comrades," declared one of his subordinates to his men, "we are entering insurgent country. I order you to deliver to flames everything that can be burnt and to bayonet any locals whom you meet on your way. I know there might be a few patriots in this country. Never mind. We must sacrifice them all." Close quote. Even Republican troops, sickened by scenes of gang rape and infanticide, dared not protest. Historians are still arguing about how many people perished during the whole episode of the Vendée Uprising, but 250,000 on the rebel side alone does not seem an overestimate. Certainly, the population of the region did not recover to its 1790 levels until the 1820s. Alongside casualties on this scale, even the number of victims who perished in the judicial terror of Nantes seems modest. Yet nowhere else was the terror so destructive. 42% of the death sentences during the entire terror were passed in the three departments most affected by the Vendée Rebellion and the various special courts established in Dolores Inferiore. Nantes' department accounted for 3,548 capital sentences. Cadier, whose previous record at Rennes, dealing with mere Federalists, had been moderate and conciliatory, believed that fanatical Royalist counter-revolutionaries deserved far harsher treatment. I could read this entire chapter and weep for the souls of the Vendée, who were killed, and we should all pray for them, who were killed, basically, I would contend, as martyrs, because they refused to renounce. This was what started the whole thing. They refused oaths of allegiance. They would not take the Pledge of Allegiance to the Constitution Congress of Robespierre. But you think, oh, this is America. That ain't going to happen. Want to bet? You really want to take that chance? Mark Kressels was talking earlier today again about secession. Look, we face heretics and apostates inside our states as well. But there are fewer of them. They're less well organized. And they have to live amongst us. There is the possibility that they might not pursue us over bathroom policy. I say it's worth the chance. But that's just me. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. Email kingdude@mikechurch.com. Twitter feed @thekingdude. Folks, by the way, if you are into the whole Twitter thing, some of you are, you may have noticed this morning that there is a bit of a disagreement of sorts. A fan of the libertarian von Meissen economist Murray Rothbard has taken to denying that there ever was, in what we call today Christendom, that there ever was Catholic/Christian kingships that were good, that were benevolent. His claim to me was, here, let me tell you what, I want to tell you this story here on a Friday. I offer this to you, to the nine of you that are listening right now. I offer this to you. I got here this morning, fresh off a 3.5-hour sleep, poured in some PJ's coffee. I was so tired last night, I forgot to set the coffee pot. So I got up this morning, I went, I'll just stop and buy some coffee. Got here this morning, and I had been inspired during prayer last night that something I should do and something we should all do. I was inspired by my friend Steve Cunningham, actually, who hosts Sermon Sunday here on the Crusade Channel, that we need to be men and women of our word. It is not enough to just wish to live in the Catholic Republic of St. Tammany, or as Mark Kresnes wishes, in the Evangelical Christian Republic of Texas or of Oklahoma. We must do things about it. We must pray for these things. If we're not praying for these things, then God is not going to bless us with them. We have to make the request. And while we are sitting here, as Thomas Jefferson would say, while the evils are still sufferable, and they are still sufferable, barely, it is incumbent upon us while the American government still has legitimate authority over us, even though they act illegitimately, their authority is legitimate because we did ratify the Constitution. It's our duty to try and convert these people and to stop them from being overlords. A good Christian slash or Catholic slash Christian president, that would have included John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Of course, he was forced into denying his magisterial belief, and he did. Also, he could obtain the office. In other words, he got it backwards, too. Well, what if we could get someone in the presidency that would get it correct? Now, I don't believe that it would stop anything, or that it would stop this madness that's going on, but it would lead to wholesale conversions, and in a generation or so, it may work to our grandchildren's good, to their benevolence, or to their benefit, I should say. And so, inspired by Cunningham, this morning I came in here innocently and with great faith, hope, and charity, tweeted out that on my way into the studio this morning, some of you are going to think this is silly. I don't know why you pray those stupid beads, Mike. I mean, really, come on. You really believe that? So that's just stupid. That's just silly. That's heresy. You're praying to a graven image now. You're a sinner, stupid, idiot, Catholic. I prayed. Today is a Friday. I'm wearing black today, as I always do on Friday, in homage and honor of our Lord's Passion. Happened on a Friday. I will not eat any flesh meat today. I'll fast as much as I can. If I feel so compelled and I have to eat something, it'll be a salad or some seafood or something, but I'll try to go without food all day long. And remind myself, they didn't give him anything. They offered him vinegar when they were torturing him, beating him nearly to death, and then nailing him, as St. Peter said, to a tree. Why should I eat? Why should I take anything on Friday other than vinegar and a little coffee? So I came in here and I offered on the Twitter feed, first electronic engagement that I had, here's the hashtag, rosaries for Trump. Now, some of you think that's silly and stupid. So be it. I tell you that I pray for the conversion of Trump and for the Trump family. Now, I know, because I've read this somewhere before, one of those kids, or one of the kids betrothed, is a Roman Catholic. Now, if you're not Catholic and you're hearing this, and you're like, oh, that's it, I'm out. Mike, I'm going to Glenn Beck. I get real talk radio there. Well, you know, hey, thanks for stopping by. I'll continue to do this and continue to try and mix in as much politics and other stuff that you really want to hear instead of this. But I think that this is as important as anything that we could do. And that is, if Trump is going to be the next president, why not pray for him? Why not pray that he's a benevolent king? Because American presidents are basically kings. Why not pray for his conversion? Why not pray for his family's conversion, for heaven's sake? What could possibly be wrong with that? I'm not going to change his mind politically. I'm not going to change his mind economically. I'm not going to have any effect on any policy or executive order, but Almighty God can. So you see the deceit involved in believing that. Well, if we send petitions, and if we fill polls out, if we go on Facebook and complain enough, they don't have to listen to us. We're appealing to the wrong authority. The authority we ought to be appealing to is the Almighty himself, because he most certainly can make that happen. You can't. I can't. He can. So why is that silly? So I get in this argument with this guy. You can't prove that there's any. Yeah, that's what I thought, Catholic boy. He's taunting me. Bueller. So I just start rattling off a list of Catholic kings and queens. And I said, tell me when you want me to stop, because there's a couple of thousand of them. We had a gentleman who was a guest on this show back in December, the author Jeffrey Shaw. I'll show the YouTube audience the book, The Lost Mandate of Heaven, The American Betrayal of Ngo Dinh Diem, President of Vietnam. And when Jeffrey was on the show, we talked about this. Why did the American CIA and the communist North Vietnamese conspire together to get rid of Ngo Dinh Diem? Because he was a Catholic. And because he was trying to stop the war. The communists needed the war to take over South Vietnam, Vietnam, and the American military-industrial complex needed the war to pad their bank accounts. And so the CIA and the commies conspired. That's right. The United States started the Vietnam War and then sent 65,000 young men to go die in it. This man here could have prevented it. Tried to prevent it. So what did they do? They took him out. There's no example in modern times. Yes, there is. Blessed Karl of Habsburg. What about Karl? Brother Andre Marie did an entire show on this network about Blessed Karl. He had Charles Colomb, I think, was his guest that day. You don't want him. What about Garcia Moreno? Garcia Moreno was, Ecuador was a country. He was doing so good for his people that he went to church one morning. He went and adored the Holy Eucharist for an hour, said his prayers. Upon leaving the church, he went to the state building. On the way up the stairs to the state building, he was attacked. He was attacked by a man, a communist or a socialist wielding, I can't remember, either communist or, well, no, they weren't communists then, they were socialists. A socialist wielding a machete. The first blow at Moreno was at his head. And instead of taking his head off, the assassin missed and took the top of his hat off. They still have the relic because he is a venerated martyr on display in Ecuador. So the first blow took the top of the hat off, and Moreno, in begging the assailant to stop, then was struck with a second blow, which almost took his left arm off. Using his right arm, Moreno tried to get his pistol out, which he took out to defend himself. And then the fatal blow was struck. He was struck upside on the neck. He fell over the balcony onto the street below, and he still wasn't dead. But they weren't finished. They tried to make sure he was dead. The police or whoever came, he was taken to a hospital where he died. Why did they want to kill Moreno? And there are so many different. There are other stories like this. You want to talk about the story of Leopold III of Austria? I'm not going to regale you with these or bore you with these stories. My point is that the guy has no point. There is no point to make in the point that he's trying to make. The only point that can be made is that what I told him was truth. But he denied it. Why did he deny it? Because he thinks libertarianism is what's going to save America. In other words, the civil religion of America can save the religionists. If you're paying attention to what's going on, ladies and gentlemen, that's not going to work. It's a Free Phone Friday here on the Crusade Channel. At 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. That is a telephone number that you can use to call me. Call me now, 844-527-8723. I'd love to talk to you. Now, what are we supposed to do about it? Well, Mr. Church, please, what are we supposed to do about this? Make clear your intentions. We intend to leave this legitimate authority that is acting illegitimately because it imperils ours, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren's souls. We intend to make clear the path is to separate from you maniacs and to not acknowledge your legitimate, your illegitimate laws, like the bathroom laws in North Carolina. Now, look, folks, I was playing with the idea of taking Monday off. I'm not going to, simply because Monday is the day that North Carolina has to answer the Injustice Department's demands that HB 2, the so-called bathroom law or bathroom ban or bathroom bill, has to be repealed. Fasting and prayer are recommended here. Now, why fasting and prayer? Dr. Michael George loves to tell the story of a day of fasting and prayer that was declared, I believe it was March the 23rd, 1776, by the Continental Congress. And they say, look, we got some serious problems with this, with the legitimate authority of the British Crown acting illegitimately and stuff. Brought to you by Carl's Jr. And we declare a day of fasting and prayer to meditate upon what to do about it. What did they do about it? Well, on July the 4th, 1776, they said, see ya, we gone. What preceded independence? Fasting and prayer over independence. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. Again, a group of 51 families whose children attend a high school in Illinois, it happened again. Christopher, I am moving that phone over there because every time somebody gets near that phone, my headphones go out. A group of 51, and that's why I paused because I couldn't hear myself again. You know what I think it is? I think it's the, I know what it is. I know what's going on. I just got an epiphany. Mike just got an epiphany. I just figured something out. 51 families whose children attend a high school in Illinois. I talked about this in the last hour of the program yesterday. Filed a federal lawsuit Wednesday attempting to reverse a policy that allows a transgender student to use girls' bathrooms, locker rooms, and other sex-specific facilities. I have a question here. Get away from that machine. Every time you get my headphones just went out again. I don't know. You're stepping on a wire. Something happens when you get in that corner. My headphones go out. I can't hear myself. We're going to move that phone over there and watch. It's never going to happen again. I have a question, though, for the audience. So this particular instance here, this is a young man whose mind is disordered, who wants to, has been encouraged to pursue his transgenderism, and thus has demanded access to the little girls' room at his high school. Well, we have to let him do this because it's just his choice. It's just a free country, please. We must allow these children to be all that they can be and to be themselves. Here's my question. What if one of these young men goes, wait a minute. You know, I've been watching a lot of porn at night, and I've kind of taken a fancy to flagellating myself. Adults, you can figure that out. I'd like to flagellate myself in the girls' bathroom. And I can't help it because this urge is so strong. And besides, it's just me being me. Please, you have to let me do it. Who's going to stop him? These nut jobs? I guarantee you the same people are going like, well, he's just flagellating himself. He's not hurting anyone. Oh, good. You didn't say that. Please, boo, please, please. This is, Mike, there's no evidence that, what do you mean there's no evidence? What's the evidence to the contrary, for heaven's sake? It's an organic group of parents and students who came together and said, we have to do something about this. We can't just roll over and allow the federal government to force our school to commingle the sexes in locker rooms, said Jeremy Tedesco, a lawyer representing the families. The suit, which challenges the education department's authority to redefine the term sex. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is nominalism at its most heretical best. What the Education Department of the United States is attempting to do is to say that the truth of the reality that God creates you and me as male and female, or let me get the order right, as female and male, because I said you and me. That's the reality of it. An edict by the Education Department to say, well, we just overruled God. No, he doesn't create males and females. It's up to us to decide. Does it get any more clear? Ladies and gentlemen, the government of the United States is denying gender as assigned at birth. You really think that there is something to conserve or to salvage here? Again, let me repeat what I said at 8:04 a.m. this morning, 9:04 Eastern time. It is over. It's over. Conform your mind to reality. It's over. We need to get out while we can. Don't be surprised to find out when these people get really hopped up. I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. That the passport offices are only going to be open on certain days. And then that the passport offices are only going to be open for certain people who have qualified for passports. Be smart about this. Go to the State Department via the post office. Go and get yourself a passport tomorrow. Go today. It's Friday. They're open. Go Monday. Don't put it off. Mike, now you're scaring people. You're just being ridiculous. No, I'm not. This is a prudent move. It's a prudent maneuver. Go and get a passport. Get your children passports today. Besides, they actually are legal identification. A Social Security card is not. A passport is. You can use a passport in Scotland. Trust me, I've done it. You can use a passport in Chile. You can use a passport to get to Panama. You can use a passport to get to Australia. We can use passports to get to the French Polynesian Islands if that's where we have to go. You can't get there without them. Our telephone number. David Simpson texted me. You see? I repeat, you see, I use all forms of communication on this talk radio show here. Mike, Catholic political hero of the 20th century, Dr. Antonio de Oliveira Salazar of Portugal. Thanks, David. Appreciate it, brother. Let's go to the telephones. 844-527-8723. 8445 Crusade. This is Ryan here on the Crusade channel on Free Phone Friday. Ryan, you're on a Mike Church show on the Crusade channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. How you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. Thanks for having me.
Now, I would like to say that this is Ryan, our first ever Crusader Founders Pass member, who has not only so generous with his wealth and becoming a crusader, has written a testimonial to explain why he did it, and then has now called the program to further explain why or to talk about today's subject. So let me personally thank you, Ryan.
Well, you're worth it, Mike.
Well, I don't know about that, but thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
And you said, I want to correct one thing. You said that I was generous in sharing my wealth. It's not mine. You see, I'm a Roman Catholic, too, although with the current head of the church, I'm hoping God promotes him sooner rather than later.
You're not alone.
I pray for his heavenly ascension daily. But no, in all seriousness, it's not my wealth. You know, all the blessings I have through God and through the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
And you said something earlier today that it moved me to call, and it involved the concept of a, I guess you could say, a just form of governance.
Okay.
And if you read, I know you have, and the listeners, some of them are going to get this, some of them are going to need your erudite words on this. You read the Declaration of Independence, and it's very clear that the founders were invoking the rights that were given to them by God. If God cannot even assign to us simple things like gender, then that means God can't give us rights, which means the government gives us rights. That's the current line that the power, that Mordor on the Potomac is feeding all of us. And if you look at the preamble to the Constitution,
yep.
Even that uses the phrase to secure the blessings of liberty. Well, how can something be a blessing unless it is ordained by God? I mean, that to me speaks volumes that when you start moving a country in a godless direction, you're not going to have liberty, and whatever rights you do have are fiat rights. Much like we have fiat currency, you're going to have fiat rights. If the government doesn't like that right, it's not the right of the day. Well, guess what? You get a new one today because that's the way it is. I mean, it is just a wholesale departure from, as you like to put it, reality. And it just scares the heck out of me.
Well, if the education department can change the definition of sex, which is what they're trying, which they've done it. They're not trying to do it. They've already done it. This lawsuit is trying to get in front of a federal magistrate to tell the injustice or the education department that it can't change the definition of gender. I would say if we want to pursue this from a federalist or from a federalism or a constitutional point of view, that only Congress could change the definition and then put it into the Title IX code as a legitimate act of Congress. But we all know that the Education Department was created by fiat, by Jimmy Carter, and with an assist from then Congressman Newt Gingrich in 1978. So the Congress actually could have a say-so in this. Now, somebody needs to ask the question, while you're all out there obsessing over Paul Ryan not endorsing Donald Trump, Donald Trump, as if that matters, a hill of beans, somebody needs to ask the question, what else is Ryan's Congress not doing? Why isn't Ryan's Congress telling the Injustice Department and the Education Department, look, pal, if you persist in tormenting the state of North Carolina, we will yank your funding and we will pass acts. Because you're an attorney. Under the alleged system of checks and balances, what branch of the federal monstrosity is supposed to check the Justice Department or the Article III judiciary?
Well, that's the problem. I would actually tell you that as the Constitution is written, there are inadequate checks and balances because from my perspective, the proper check on an overbearing federal agency from any department, whether it's a judicial agency, which to me a court is an agency,
yep.
The proper check for that would be the states. If you look at the 19th Amendment.
Oh, yeah, for
Amendment,
sure. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's the whole argument of the nullification and interposition.
Yes, but it goes even further. Where the founding fathers, first of all, the founding fathers made mistakes. You've talked about this before. I completely agree. If they hadn't made mistakes, the Bill of Rights would have been in the Constitution. They wouldn't have been the first 10 amendments. The 10th Amendment has zero enforcement mechanism described in it. And my governor, Greg Abbott, not a perfect guy, but I think he's right on this issue, has proposed an Article 5 convention to allow the sitting governors to convene and through some level of majority, whether it's a simple majority or supermajority, overrule or override certain federal, judicial, executive, or legislative acts. That, to me, would be a true fourth branch of government that allows extraordinary but still constitutional checks on federal power. And I will tell you right now, if there's an overarching or an overreaching of the executive branch, then Congress has the control of the purse strings to defund it, but this Congress won't do that. They don't have the fortitude to do it. And if the courts were made up of good men and women, of truly wise individuals, i.e., book of judges wise,
right.
Then they could also curtail this monstrosity. But there's, and you said nullification. I will say there's one more thing that the states could do, weaponization. And I don't mean that in a military sense. They could basically make being a federal employee, for example, in the state of North Carolina or in the state of Texas, really uncomfortable. It is well within a governor's power to simply say, all right, Attorney General, what I'd like you to do is start a task force, and I want you to root out every single federal employee that's in this state that is also a felon or has engaged in felonious activity and start pursuing them, any and all actions. And then from private citizens, we're the fifth branch. You know, the voting is one form of the fifth branch, but we are a fifth branch. You know, maybe I'm over litigious, but for those people that are blessed with wealth or steady streams of income otherwise, I would say feel more than free to launch class action after class action after class action against government agencies, because they've got a budget, and at some point that money runs dry until it's reappropriated. And if you bury them in litigation, at some point they're going to get the picture that things have to change. Otherwise, right, they don't get their performance bonuses at the end of the year.
Ryan, I'm sure that you know Dr. Charles Murray. And Dr. Charles Murray appeared on the old station in the old country to promote his latest book. And I have it sitting over there. I don't have it here in front of me, but I have to go get it to get you the title. But I know the gist of the book, which was exactly what you just proposed. Murray said that people, like with this bathroom insanity, when something like this comes up, what needs to happen is that, like those 51 people in Illinois that banded together, that there needs to be group upon group upon group upon group that are doing this pro bono, or there needs to be people that, if they have the riches or the wealth to do it, to fund this opposition, sue the agencies. Sue them, so that they have to spend all of their time and all of their resources defending their actions here. If the education department were sued, in other words, by 5,000 concerned parent groups in America, they can't just dismiss all of the suits. They'd have to respond to them. And what Murray's theory is that if you do this, then you kneecap their ability to do to continue the tyranny.
That's exactly right. And the book is titled By the People, Rebuilding Liberty Without Permission.
That's it. There you go.
Yeah, I've read it. And Mike, one last thing. I know you got other things to do today. I appreciate the time you've given me. I want you and the listeners to think about this. If people did start becoming litigious against the government, that's a form of political contribution, whether it's not to a party. I mean, you don't get a tax deduction for this, but you're doing it because it's the right thing. If state governments begin to weaponize themselves against the personnel of these agencies, the agencies will find themselves stuck between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, they have to defend all these lawsuits, and then on the other hand, the states are basically criminalizing their employees or finding criminal actions that their employees are engaging in and putting them under felony indictment if possible, which in many cases would render them ineligible for federal employment. Therefore, they're going to have a staffing problem. And if you think the government can continue functioning at that level, no, it can't.
I could, you know what? I'm going to have Charles Murray on. I'm going to reach out to him and see if he'll come back on next week and we could talk about this, because I think his book and what you just proposed and what Dr. Murray proposed. Look, as long as we're under the feds have a legitimate authority. We've already admitted that.
Yeah.
They are using it illegitimately.
Yeah.
And if we can't stop the illegitimate use, then we have to separate. But we do have a mean and a method. And what you just said outlines it, and I'd like for Dr. Murray to come on and propose that as well. Again, Ryan, thank you so much for your membership, for your support, for your call today, and I just say thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
You're most welcome, sir. Thank you.
All right, talk again real soon. Folks, take a time out. Let's get Debbie on here for Debbie Does Politics and get our movie reviews, and then Free Phone Friday rolls on. Now that's the kind of call. That's an all-star call there. That's, again, a solution. The talk radio mafia and mainstream media don't want to propose solutions because they need for the conflict to continue. If the conflict is over, then there are no ratings. You see, there's no ads to sell. There's nothing to yell and to jump up and down and set your hair on fire and scream about. That's an actual solution. It's an actual solution. And you heard it here on a Friday on the Crusade Channel, part of Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be.